My friends, good morning. Even as news of the corn shortage hits mainstream media here in the US, the rest of the world still thinks that we can import all the food we need from the United States. China has just had massive losses, both of pigs and grains, in this most recent round of flooding and the typhoon. We can see that the Henan province, which was tremendously hit with the flooding, is actually responsible for about 10% of their total grain production. This is not something that China can easily absorb right now, and so they'll be frantically continuing to import, probably from the US. Brazil just yesterday announced that they were importing 30 boatloads, literal boatloads, of corn from their neighbor Argentina, which actually gives us some insight into just how badly their safrinha crop, their third crop of corn, failed this past season. Brazil, of course, is one of the top three producers and exporters of corn. So just as I mentioned in my wheat video lately, when we see the breadbaskets of the world, the top producers and exporters that feed the rest of the countries that import food, now saying, crap, we don't have food and frantically trying to import, this is as huge a red flag as you can imagine about the state of the global food supply. And in fact, it will be, of course, analysts are saying it will be the United States from whom Brazil is forced to import grain come this winter. And as this response says, pretty much everybody will be importing from the United States. That's not really a joke. Here we read from Mexico that they've actually increased their imports about 14%, even though they're trying to become food self-sufficient with respect to grains. This last 6 months, they, again, frantically started importing from the United States, and they're being impacted by the drought as well right now. So, you know, just as I did with that wheat video, when you look down the list of who, of where in the world the corn comes from, almost all of these nations are having agricultural difficulties right now. And in many cases, it's pretty clear that these are deliberate and engineered from the weather warfare that's being used to aggravate precipitative and temperature extremes, the flooding and the droughts, the closures of ports and the stoppage of rail service, the chaos throughout the shipping and supply chains, which are faltering under the lockdowns and pressures there, the fuel shortages, dumping water and turning off irrigation to farmers. All of these are causing, as you can imagine, tremendous problems for the global food supply, bringing us closer to the future that the technocrats have envisioned for us, where food is just tremendously expensive. You can barely afford it. And so, of course, we all need that universal basic income just to be able to afford the fake foodstuffs, which are probably being upcycled from trash anyway. Here's just one latest view into that, as it was announced that scientists have developed something which turns plastic, recycles it into an edible protein. That is the post-animal economy, the world without animals that they want when your protein comes from leftover plastics. And that's where we're headed if we don't stop these attacks on our food supply, or if you don't start growing your own food. So that's a lot to talk about, but let's have that conversation. I'm Christian, and this is the Ice Age Farmer broadcast. And in the height of hypocrisy, the BBC, who I think is the king of censorship, has called out China for hiding data about the extent of damages in the floods in the Henan province. So, although that's sort of ridiculous that the BBC has to accuse them of hiding data, it is indicative of the fact that China is not being forthcoming at all about how bad the situation there in Henan and more broadly was. Here from Reuters, the sky has fallen. Chinese farmers are losing their livelihood in these floods. And we read that just this past round of flooding was responsible for 71 deaths, but also notably more than 1 million animals perished and over 1,600 large livestock farms were affected. The article goes on to have quotes, actually this article from SCMP goes on to have quotes from farmers who are saying, I don't even want to do this anymore. I'm getting out. I'm tired of this. Bring me into that post-animal economy. I don't want to raise livestock anymore. We have no more money to raise pigs again. And then this quote down here, quote, I just don't feel like raising pigs anymore. So it's working, right? The war on ranchers and farmers is a successful one, as they're driven out of business or just, you know, their morale is destroyed. But it's also just staggering, some of these quotes. I'm waiting for the water levels to go down to see what to do with my remaining pigs. They've been in the water for a few days now and they can't eat. Probably I won't have even one pig left right now. So Henan, which again is responsible for a bulk of Chinese pig production, hog production, was flooded out. And it's not even just the immediate damage that's the most problematic here. It's also that, you know, there's a lot of pools of manure and other industrial byproducts around the area that when an area floods like this, just gets washed everywhere. And so it is a disgusting, filthy, disease-ridden mess right there. And there are a lot of analysts who are saying that there's a good chance there'll be another outbreak now, a renewed outbreak of African swine fever, which, as you remember, decimated their hog production 2 years ago. It was just like 60% of their pigs had to be killed off because of African swine fever. So this quote, "It's as if the sky has fallen," is pretty accurate. Like I said, though, it's not just the pigs. Here from Global Times, we read, "The torrential Henan rains are sparking concern over grains production. The nation's food supply in China is now at risk as the province is one of China's leading grain producers. Over 712,000 hectares of crops, accounting for 9% of the fall crop area, were affected by these floods." And that is just a mind-numbingly stunning extent of, I mean, it's just huge. It's incomprehensibly large. Quote, "The production gap of Henan is irreplaceable in China and globally." I mean, it's gone. If you can't get that back, it's irreplaceable, period. "As the province alone accounts for nearly 10% of China's total grain production and more than a quarter of their summer grain crop." This goes on to say that wheat was also damaged. Remember, wheat is already at a premium and is a harbinger of starvation generally. "The quality of the wheat will also be affected after being soaked in water. So market prices will rise further. Food prices through the roof by design." Zero Hedge concluded in their coverage of this by saying, "China may have to continue buying U.S. farm goods due to an already devastating flood season." So there's one of the world's biggest top producers just lost 10% of all of their grains and is going to be buying from whom? From the U.S. It's also worth noting, we've got pigs killed, grains destroyed, and of course the ports were forced to close there as well. And between Ningbo and Shanghai, there's a ton of container traffic there. So this is just stirring up that pot of shipping delays and container shortages even worse. All right, in Brazil, JBS has imported 30 shiploads of Argentinian corn. Here from worldgrain.com, JBS, the world's largest meat packer, imported 30 shiploads of corn from Argentina into Brazil. Why? Due to a crop failure in Brazil. Now, that is their second crop of corn, the safrinha, which you can read down here, represents between 70 to 75% of all output in a given year, and is the country's biggest corn crop. It's also where they get the corn that they're going to export, usually. So this takes that corn off the global market. Brazil will export 15 million tons less of corn, and not only that, they're going to import 4 million tons more. So it's, you know, you can see that the supply of corn in the world is being chipped away at quite substantially when you look at China losing 10% of their grain production, some amount of 10%, and then Brazil losing a lot of their corn, their safrinha crop. That's, I mean, these are the numbers 2 and 3 producers of corn in the world. That's why everyone has all eyes on the United States right now. But of course, what's going on in the United States? Corn shortages.
Farmers say it's too late for any kind of rain to save their crops, and it's time to move forward with whatever is in the fields.
Around the state, it's a similar picture. Dead spots in fields. Clark Price of Washburn is the fourth generation on this land, and it's difficult to compare this year to any he's seen.
We all had hope for it early on, but the wheat crop kind of fizzled out early. It didn't get enough rain early to hardly even come out of the ground, so that kind of quit. But we had pretty good hope for the corn and the beans, but as the temperatures are staying in the 90s and above, no rain, it's shutting all them off too. So pretty likely this won't be a corn crop.
What should be a full ear of corn resembles baby corn, and even that is hard to find. This crop will likely become feed for cattle just to get any use from it.
The corn crop, our feedstock supply in our traditional market area is very questionable right now. All I can say is that we're very concerned.
Yep. So within the U.S., states are competing for the supplies of corn. It's basically a microcosm of what's going on across the world as nations look around frantically to see, does anyone have corn I can buy right now? And prices just keep going up. Ultimately, it will be we, the consumers, who end up paying those prices unless we grow our own food. And that probably is a pretty good idea right about now, don't you think? Here's one report on how disastrous the drought has become for the United States. Quote, the drought has become particularly hard for Western farmers and ranchers, many of whom are facing water scarcity, stunting crops, and thinning herds as ranchers sell off their livestock because of feed shortages. Jeff Schaefer described a landscape of crops in his state that are boot high instead of armpit high, pasture grass that never did turn green, and cows grazing on brown grass in June. As a result, quote, we're seeing 10 to 25% herd reductions. And the story is the same in Canada. We read here from producer.com, crunch, crunch, crunch. That is the sound of parched prairie crops burning to a crisp under a heat wave that is baking Western Canadian crops this week. It might also describe the financial situation that farmers and ranchers will face this year as income prospects dwindle and the full impact of a looming feed shortage comes into greater focus for cattle producers. Livestock producers are scrutinizing animal numbers and keeping a close eye on markets, wondering when to begin culling their herds before feeding season arises. And since that's one thing we keep hearing in the mainstream media about this feed crisis for animals, I just want to point out this article again. It's been now a couple months since it ran. Why the nation's food crisis is more of a feed challenge, that pointed out that it was a problem that humans are competing with this livestock industry to be able to feed them. And this said, this is why we need to consider getting rid of livestock and producing alternative proteins, because right now we're gonna have a food shortage because we keep feeding all the grains we grow to animals. Never mind the fact that usually it's lower quality grains that are turned into animal feed. They want to pit you against animals so that when we go to the store and have empty shelves or just ridiculously high prices, that we consumers, this is problem, classic problem reaction solution, right? Problem, food gets super expensive. Reaction, people freak out. Solution, that they are prescripting now. We gotta get rid of the animals. Oops, they ate all of our grains that you were going to eat. Enter the post-animal economy. This is the script that they've laid out years ago, and we're walking through it now. So I hope you are paying attention at home. This is why I've been talking about this for years, because they told us all it was coming and they told us all where they would be taking us based on this problem reaction solution. And now that we're seeing it, and now that the shelves are empty in UK supermarkets because of a truck driver shortage and a pingdemic, right? They give us all these different reasons, but the bottom line is food prices are exploding, food availability is shrinking, and they want you to eat the bugs and upcycle the plastic. And of course, then there's even the more important bottom line, which is that if you don't have food, it doesn't matter if you have a First Amendment or a Second Amendment, you'll give up anything just to be able to feed your family. It's almost as if the framers of the Constitution overlooked that. I mean, to be fair, it was 250 years ago, and you couldn't even imagine some dystopic future where companies had taken control over the global food supply and outlawed your ability to grow food. It's just, you know, it's unimaginable. And yet here we are. So there's a gaping hole in the Constitution where perhaps the right to produce food should have been. And actually, it's that hole that Maine, the state of Maine, is looking to fill right now with this resolution, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of Maine to establish a right to food and to grow your own food. Rights to food sovereignty and freedom from hunger. This is actually a step in the right direction, as I see it. It's the opposite of the food as universal basic income that the Rockefellers are proposing. So I think we've packed enough data in this update today to illustrate that things are accelerating very quickly towards the future that they're creating. If you value your ability to feed your family and maintain sovereignty from the system they're building right now, the beast system, the forced injections, all of it. Start growing food right now, because without food, none of it matters, right? So you can find this report and all my reports on the Rockefeller Foundation's Reset the Table document that describes what we're going through right now, on George Soros's funded food chain reaction game, which war games, these scenarios, and the outcomes, which were global carbon taxes and meat taxes, on iceagefarmer.com. If you appreciate this broadcast, if you value this information, please help me keep it running. There's a few ways you can do that at iceagefarmer.com, and I very much appreciate that. Thanks for watching, folks. Be well.